Welcome to TalentWise, the definitive podcast for CXOs, human resource and learning and development leaders. This show comes to you from thought leaders who talk about human capital development in today's organization. How to engage and empower today's employee to be effective, competitive and relevant. Stay with us for an exciting conversation with our guest and learn how to future-proof your team. I'm your host Shubhanjan, founder of KnowledgeBridge. Our guest today is Aseem Prakash from the Center for Innovating the Future in Toronto, Canada.
First of all, what you just described is already happening. This is a new, it's data labeling in work. And it's already being done, not only in China, but believe it or not, it's also being done inside prisons. I think Finland is trying that, where prisoners are being asked to label data. So data labeling is definitely going to be and is a huge opportunity. But then there is synthetic data also coming along to train up AI. So it's very tempting to think that there are new jobs that are being created. And yes, there will always be new jobs being created. The way I kind of phrase this argument is in two ways. Number one, it doesn't matter who is doing what. Every time a bot is being put in place inside an operation, every time a robotic arm, when those are being deployed, you're not hiring a human. And if you're not hiring a human, that is adding to the challenge of providing a job and employment to humans. Most leadership teams know this, at least, that a radical shift has begun.
Our guest today is Aseem Prakash from the Center for Innovating the Future in Toronto, Canada. Aseem Prakash is the world's leading AI business strategist. He works at the Center for Innovating the Future in Toronto, Canada. He coined the word algoscient. Aseem specializes in reskilling leaders for the new algorithmic age and innovating strategies for coexisting with robots and profiting from AI. Now, on to this great episode of TalentWise with Aseem Prakash.
Aseem, good morning. Thank you very much for making time. I'm very excited to have you on TalentWise. Whenever we are talking of future of work and future-proofing the team, and we are talking of impact of AI and the emerging fields of robotics, I honestly think about you because you are one person who have been focused on this, talking about this for a very long time. And it's indeed a pleasure that we'll be able to touch upon some of these ideas for the benefit of all of us who are concerned about where work is headed. So, to start with, where do you see this going? What is the impact of AI and robotics on work in terms of future-proofing organization and its team?
So, first of all, thank you, Shubhanjan, for inviting me to your podcast and also for giving me this platform to share some perspectives. Shubhanjan, as you know, that the field of artificial intelligence, AI, and robotics are not only moving very, very fast, but from an organizational standpoint, from a societal standpoint, one of the biggest impact areas is definitely work. What will humans do? What will become of work? And when you dive into work and impact of AI and robotics on work, that's a minefield. It's incredibly broad, incredibly complex, incredibly challenging, and there are no simple or easy answers to deal with all the questions that are emerging, have emerged, and will continue to rise up. But to really try to understand the impact, we have to understand, first of all, what work is and what a job means. You know, this is not about a paycheck alone. This is about human identity. When we go to work, which means when we go to a place of employment, whether we are a company of one person or we go to an organization and we are on the payroll of somebody else, or whether we are freelancers, the most important thing is that it is about identity. Then it's about a paycheck, of course, but it's also about contribution. It's about doing something purposeful, meaningful, that is not only gratifying to oneself, but it is creating value in the broader humanity and society. So if you look at it through that filter, and then you bring in artificial intelligence and robotics, you can see why these things are incredibly complex and challenging. So when we talk about impact, we have to kind of start decoding. It's like peeling the onion and looking at different layers and seeing what are the different variables that we are looking at and what will be the impact of artificial intelligence and robotics on different variables that make up all those things which I just talked about, from identity to value to paycheck to contributions.
So if you want to talk in concrete terms, how do you see that impacting? So typically when we think of robotics, you can touch upon and expand it into AI, but just to explain, when we think of robotics, we are thinking of, you know, assembly lines, automobile assembly lines. Those are the pictures that are most seen, right? Or robots assisting doctors to do some precision surgery and stuff like that, right? In the AI side, what we see is the Google Assistant or references to Deep Blue. Where is it actually impacting, according to you? What kind of jobs are under threat and what do you do?
Well, very good question. First of all, some of the depictions that you have just shared, whether it is robotics as being assembly line or artificial intelligence as being Google Assistant or Amazon Alexa or IBM's Deep Blue, they are definitely the most popular examples that we see day in and day out. But there is so much work that is going on both inside startups as well as established companies that are also developing robotics and artificial intelligence capabilities of their own, and also inside those organizations that are tapping these capabilities to move their operations forward. So there is a lot of work going on everywhere. In terms of very specific example, going back to your question, first of all, every job, I repeat, every job is being affected, will be affected. Even if you are a nuclear scientist, even if you are a NASA astronomer, your job is going to be affected, is being affected. So, you know, there is nobody out there that can say, well, I am not going to be touched by it and I'm good to go. That's a fallacy. That's a miscalculation. And that can come back and haunt those people in some very nasty ways. So every job is going to be affected. Yes, some jobs are going to be affected a lot more than other jobs. For example, you could argue that the job of a call center worker is going to be automated, is already being automated to a very large extent. So, for example, in Denmark, if you make a 911 call, the call center worker, the person, the 911 operator, I don't know whether it's called 911 in Denmark the same way as it is called here in North America. So if you make an emergency call, artificial intelligence is now sitting next to the call center operator and is hearing the caller's voice and interpreting if that voice has got, say, a health problem, particularly that artificial intelligence algorithm has been trained to listen to the caller's voice and see if the caller is having a heart attack. And if that is the case, then artificial intelligence is telling the call center worker what they need to do to identify it further and provide assistance to that caller as soon as possible. So in this scenario, you could already see that a lot of skills that either the call center worker would have had to go and develop, if that was the intent of the call center organization to provide that kind of detailed insight, the call center workers would have to get trained up. But in this case, artificial intelligence is bringing that capability. Today, it is bringing that capability. Tomorrow, artificial intelligence can also be taking the calls on its own, which is also happening in many call centers, where artificial intelligence is listening to what you're saying and then directing the call to humans when it is not able to resolve that situation.
Right, right.
So that every job is going to be affected in all types of ways. It is a question of degree.
So I'll tell you about an opportunity and a problem, right? There is a huge opportunity for countries like India, just like we harnessed the Y2K problem and we became a $150, $200 billion industry. We have this opportunity where we can provide the human intelligence to train the AIs. For example, one data point that was shared was that to actually interpret 1 hour of video that a Google Street View car captures and then tag it appropriately, this is a human, this is a cat, this is a shop, this is a door, this is whatever, that takes 80 hours of human input, right? Now, that's an opportunity for countries like India to provide that service. So so in the short run, apparently AI could actually increase jobs before it sort of will go down the cliff.
I will rephrase it slightly differently. First of all, what you just described is already happening. I forget there is a specific word for this type of industry. This is a new, it's data labeling in work. And it's already being done not only in China, but believe it or not, it's also being done inside prisons. I think Finland is trying that, where prisoners are being asked to label data. If I am not mistaken, I think it is Finland. So data labeling is definitely going to be and is a huge opportunity. But then there is synthetic data also coming along to train up AI. So it's very tempting to think that there are new jobs that are being created. And yes, there will always be new jobs being created. The way I kind of phrase this argument is in two ways. Number one, it doesn't matter who is doing what. Every time a bot is being put in place inside an operation, every time a robotic arm, you know, those low-cost, low-end cobots, those robotics arms, collaborative robotic arms, when those are a lot cheaper than the industrial arms, when those are being deployed. So every time you're using one of these technologies, you're not hiring a human. And if you're not hiring a human, that is adding to the challenge of providing a job and employment to humans. So even if you're not replacing humans and you are adding these new capabilities in the form of robotic, say a robotic arm or a bot, chat bot, and those are just two examples.
Yeah.
You're not hiring a human, so which is adding to the challenge. Then comes the other side of the coin when companies begin to look at their own operational and strategic readiness for the new algorithmic age. Because most leadership teams know this, at least, that a radical shift has begun. They may not necessarily be on top of how that shift looks, what that shift looks like, or how it is going to impact them, how it is going to change their industry, and what will become of their company, organization, because of those shifts. They may not be on top of all of those variables. Even if they are on top of it, they may not have a consensus within the leadership team what these things actually mean. But they recognize that a radical shift has begun. So as organizations, as businesses, as firms begin to navigate this new algorithmic age, they're going to have to rethink what becomes of their operation. What will create competitive advantage? How will they lead customers? What kind of value that they need to innovate now? When they begin to answer those questions, then they're going to look for what kind of capabilities and skills we need to get these things done. And when they begin to analyze through those filters, that's when they will begin to say, well, you know, if we are going to be providing customer service to this group of customers, because remember, this is not happening in isolation. When they're defining, we're going to provide this service to this group of customers, already there is a lot of data analytics at work, which is defining what that group of customers will look like. So, you know, you may have customers that you're recovering money from, or you may have customers who are not growing revenues but costing money to the company. And you may want to deal with such customers through automation, because those customers are not necessarily adding to your top line but affecting your bottom line. So as these things happen, that's when the rationalization of humans will begin to happen. Because today you may have 20 people team working with that group of customers. Tomorrow you may have two people or no people working with that group of customers. So it's a complex argument, but this is how I phrase it.
Let's take a short break. When we come back, we will discuss where we are headed and what organizations and individual employees should be bracing for in the visible future.
You are listening to a Show How To audio original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences.
Welcome back. Before the break, Asim was discussing how automation is affecting jobs. Let's dive deeper to find out more about AI and how it is already impacting jobs and businesses.
Yeah, I think I'm completely in agreement, because we see that the hottest thing in SaaS is what they call product-led growth. And what is product-led growth? Product-led growth is somewhere you go and try out a software and you like it and then you buy it, which means the salesman doesn't figure here at all. See that? And product-led growth is the sort of the biggest thing in SaaS today. So essentially you are saying, hey, you know what, we were using a salesperson who used to get leads, and those marketing qualified leads used to become sales qualified leads as the salesman started going and pitching and talking and converting. Now suddenly the next phase of that is product qualified leads, PQLs, and those don't need people. But we are not talking it in terms of AI, we are not talking in terms of robotics, we are not talking in terms of, oh, how do I or where do I fit in my existing sales guys so that they can sort of dovetail their exercise or ability into the PQL era. I know it's a distant thing, but I think you see where I'm sort of connecting the dots, right?
Sure, sure. And you actually touched on a very baseline thing, and that is that when you look at, see, we have had workflows, then all types of technologies came along, and we added those technologies to improve the efficiency of those workflows. One could argue that we have deployed way too much technology. We have deployed technology not being very smart as to how to use the technology, or we have made a mess of different types of incompatible systems added to the workflows based on the changing context of the organization. Those may or may not be valid arguments, but they are, let's put them aside for a second. The reality is that's a workflow that has gone on. Now you have new variables popping up, like where the product itself is so capable, is so intelligent, that in order to navigate this product and to qualify whether this product is the right one for one's operations, it's almost like the product is its own salesperson. And so you have that. Then you have algorithms also coming into play, whether in the form of a bot or in the form of Alexa or Google Assistant style machines, where you can interact and learn about it, and they become your kind of pre-sales or post-sales or even sales persons that are interacting with customers. So what is happening then is that we have had a workflow that is full of different types of technologies. It was all human-centric, even though there was too much technology involved, but it was all human-centric. But now we are have entered into a world where the product that an organization is looking to deploy is a salesperson of its own, plus you may have additional capabilities. So now if you're looking at that workflow, you have to step back and you have to ask yourself, what is the most effective, not just most efficient? What is, because being fast doesn't mean you're going to close the sale.
Yeah.
And being cheap does not mean that the customer will definitely buy the product.
Yes.
So you need to then sit back and assess what is the most effective way to lead the customer. Yes. So now you have an intelligent product, you have algorithmic capability, and you have humans and human creativity. So as a business leader, you have to now combine the three and rethink what is the most effective workflow that I need to deploy in order to grow the business and increase sales. So you can see where my thought process is coming from, and the which ties back to the impact of AI and robotics on work and how it is altering the landscape or the work landscape.
Right. So what should organizations or what should employees who are looking at working for the next, say, 20 years, what should they do?
Well, that's a good question. And there are a lot of different points of views out there, from going back to educational institutes to get new forms of degrees to develop soft skills, to go and learn lifelong learning, and so on and so forth. I have been also thinking about it. I have been involved in executive training in different parts of the world for the last several years. And at the start of this year, I launched what I call Algotient. I very strongly believe that in the new algorithmic age, the human IQ, the stuff that you and I know and have made us successful, knowledgeable up until this point, that human IQ is being handed over to robots, is being codified, commoditized, and being given to algorithms and robots so that they can coexist with us in a human-friendly manner. So if our IQ has been given to robots, the question is, what should be the next thing that makes us humans relevant, that makes us stand tall? I call it algotient, algorithmic quotient. That's the word I coined. And I strongly believe that leadership teams and workforces should start investing in building up their algotient. Everybody is going to be surrounded by robots. All types of robotics and artificial intelligence systems are already there inside the operations of an organization and outside. And the faster people begin to develop algotient, the easier it will become for them to either collaborate with robots or compete with and against robots. Or if robots in those contexts where they are replacing humans, then those humans, if they have algotient, will be able to define what is the value add, which goes back to the very first conversation we had at the start of this podcast, that a job is not just about a paycheck. It's about identity and making a contribution as well. So those humans who are being affected by robots, and if they have algotient, they will be able to then define for themselves, what can they do? Where do they fit in? So I believe that, taking courses and developing soft skills, that those are fantastic, great starting points, but I do not think that's enough. Because they are like band-aids. And we need to reconfigure our thinking process. We need to reconfigure our thinking process with new maps and guideposts. And that's the intent and objective of Algotient.
Can you sort of draw a picture of how Algotient would actually work? What is the framework which an organization would refer to if they wanted to sort of embrace this idea of algorithmic quotient and sort of build it into the DNA so that that becomes a driving force or a touchstone for whatever the organization does going forward?
Let me go back to a point that you and I were discussing just a short while ago. Yeah. We were talking about that sales workflow from human-centric to a new era of that workflow. Right. And we talked about that we have an intelligent product that can act as a salesperson of its own. We have human creativity, and we have the algorithmic capability. So now if you have Algotient as a leader, you are now in a position to reframe all of these things and begin to navigate as to what you need to do. And you will be navigating and making decisions, not just in isolation. In fact, you may not even have a sales department the way you have carried a sales department in your operation. So what Algotion does is it gives you the foundation to start thinking holistically, to start thinking futuristically, to start thinking operationally, to start thinking, how do I move my organization from where I am to the next phase? How do I even define what the next phase is? For that, you need a new way of thinking and a new intellectual foundation at different levels. And that is what Algotion does. So if you're applying AI, you want to move, you want to scale up AI, you want to make innovation part of everybody's DNA. Now, that's a great intent, but how do you do that? You can't do that by throwing 5 bullet points in front of operations, in front of leadership teams, and say, these are 5 steps to take. It doesn't work that way anymore because the context is changing. So what Algotion does, the way Algotion becomes a part of an organization's DNA is that it reconfigures the thinking process. It gives them the new tools, the new knowledge maps to apply to their operations, but not just from what they're doing at where their industry is at, but looking at the broad picture. Because remember this, we are for the first time in our journey. I mean, there are so many firsts that are taking place, but if you look at it just from a technology perspective, this technology called artificial intelligence is now developing all over the world simultaneously. And a lot of what is taking place outside the boundaries of your industry, whatever industries you're operating in. So how can you reorganize your company, reinvent your operation, if you're not on top of everything? You may come up with the best plan, but there could be a startup in, or a dozen of startups in other parts of the world that are already eating away at your core competency. And if you cannot reinvent, and if you cannot come up with that big picture, how can you do that workflow engineering the smart way? By itself, the workflow may be the best workflow because of RPA, robotics process automation. And that may give you operational agility and operational efficiency and cut down costs. But how does it connect with the big picture? So that's what Algotion does, is it connects all the various pieces and it allows you to build a great foundation of success for people as well as for the organization. And if somebody wants to find out more, they can go to algotient.com, algotient.com.
TalentWise is brought to you by KnowledgeBridge. We produce customized and multilingual visual training content. We have worked on complex processes, products, and skills development for large blue-chip brands such as Tata Motors, Mahindra First Choice, HomeLane, Epson, Toyota, Citibank, and Consul Neowatt, serving diverse industries. Talk to us for your next custom content requirement and be pleasantly surprised. Call us on 99021-631-32.
Great. Asim, thank you so much. I really appreciate your taking time and talking to us. I'm quite certain that that this discussion doesn't end here. We would revisit, you know, as you start applying your concepts and you see more and more companies experimenting with your framework. We would love to come back and talk to you about what you are learning. And this has been a nice, should I say, peek into what we could potentially be looking at in the future, and definitely warrants a lot more discussion. Thank you. I really appreciate, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you, Shubhanjan. I just wanted to say one lasting thing. Algotion and some of these things are not just about the future. They're already happening. Thank you again.
Thank you, Asim.
Thank you for being with us today on TalentWise. We hope we helped you focus on some actionable ideas today. It was certainly enlightening for us. We hope to see you again on our next episode. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts from, and give us a rating while you're at it. Thank you in advance. This Show How To Original podcast is produced for KnowledgeBridge, the multilingual visual training platform and custom training content creators by Show How To Audio. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time.